My name is Michelle O'Wu and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date is the 30th of August 2009 and the time is now 11:12 p.m. Could you tell me your name, your age and where you come from?
Yep, it's Peter Chapman, I'm 47, I'm from Bradford in West Yorkshire.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling fine, yeah.
When did you come down from Bradford?
Came down on Thursday morning. And I'm here till Tuesday morning.
And what have you been up to since you came down?
We're just generally going round, went round Tate Modern, Borough Market, and went in the National Portrait Gallery. Had a wander around on Thursday, then on on Friday, then on Saturday watched the Challenge Cup final because my son's from Huddersfield and he wanted the Giants to win and they didn't. Then we went to the local pub and watched Man United beat Arsenal, which was very enjoyable since there weren't many Man United fans in the pub and we were probably the only two that were vociferous about it and didn't get appreciated by the others, but we enjoyed it. So.
Can you remember how you first heard about this project?
Yeah, I got an email, which I think was from Tate, because I'm a member of Tate Galleries anyway, so I presume that's where it's from. I can't really remember, and I filled it in, and then obviously got another email and filled more details in, and then I've been in the middle of July sometime, that I got the email saying I've been chosen. So.
How did you feel when you got that email?
Yeah, I had to, a bit panicked because I don't have a digital camera, so I had to get people at work to take a picture of me, and then we couldn't get the computers to accept it, and eventually we did, and hence I'm here now.
What was it about this project, do you think, that made you want to be involved? Why did you want to apply?
Well, I've followed what's been going on in the Fourth Plinth since artworks started going on there, and when I heard there was the whole selection process of different ideas that were. Eventually Anthony Gormley's one another got chosen, and I read then, I think in the Guardian, that there'd be a selection process, so I decided to look out for it, but then anyway the email came from, as I said, I presume it's from Tate, and I can't really remember, I ought to look it up, but I wanted to be part of it because I like contemporary art and I like what's going on in the art scene generally, but I think that this is taking it, breaking down that supposed and probably wrongly supposed elitism that there is, and it's actually there. Anyone can see it. You don't have to go into a gallery or anything. Anyone walking through Trafalgar Square can see what's going on.
Can you remember when you first became interested in art?
I think I've always been fairly interested. I didn't do art at school, but I did opt to, had to make our options for O levels, but I think I've always been interested in what's going on. I remember probably the first thing that sparked an interest was arguing with my dad about the bricks that Tate Gallery bought. And I was calling it art and he was calling it a pile of crap. And I was sort of arguing, and it was the argument that still goes on with people now, that like art should be a painting you can recognise and understand what it is. And I was like, well, no, there's feelings and there's all this sort of stuff. So I think it's probably then, I would have been about 14, 15 when I first started. And then when Tate Modern opened, that was the first chance I really got to see a lot of modern art. I'd been to the Pompidou in Paris before that and I enjoyed it, though when we'd actually paid into a special exhibition and found out it was David Hockney's Pictures of Bradford that we'd paid in to go and see. So we'd gone to Paris to look at pictures of streets where we lived, but it was worth it, it was fun.
Do you like Hockney's work?
I like some of it. I wouldn't say I like it all. I mean, it's all over Bradford. We've got Saltaire, we've got the 1861 gallery, I think it's called. So you can go down there any time. And it's some of it I like, yeah. Some of it isn't particularly my taste, but it's good, and it puts Bradford on the map anyway. So it's, which is in a positive way, which Bradford tends to get negative things said about it quite a lot. But there is quite a lot positive there.
Friends and colleagues reacted to you taking part in this project?
Well, the radio station where I work are really pleased about it. They think it's a good thing and quite funny that I'm going to do it. But most people I've spoken to have been quite positive about it. I've had a few, why would anyone want to do that, sort of comments. But a lot of people hadn't even heard of it because they're not interested in arts, they don't follow art coverage in the papers or in TV or anything, so that they haven't even heard of it, but now I suppose they have heard of it, so that's a positive thing out of it.
What did you say to those people who just couldn't understand why you wanted to do it?
Just that I thought it was a great opportunity for ordinary people to participate in a modern art or a contemporary art piece, and that with someone who is relatively well known by people who aren't necessarily interested in art. Like Anthony Gormley, probably got the most famous piece of contemporary art in Britain, The Angel of the North, and the statues that are on the beach at Crosby, I think that's where it is, and the statues he did around London last year with standing on the edge of buildings and things like that. So it's a name that people have heard of, and one that isn't particularly controversial. Particularly when I've got one or two friends who just, you only have to mention a name like Damien Hirst or Tracy Emin, and you can see steam pouring out their ears and stuff. But you know, it's because I mean, last year we had a day trip to Edinburgh for the Tracy Emin retrospective, and just something I wanted to go and see. And there's a lot of people didn't understand why anyone would do that for an art exhibition. But I know, I think art has got a crucial role to play. And you look back over a lot of what's happened in history, art has been a crucial part in it, from the Russian Revolution, all sorts of things. It played Spanish Civil War particularly. I mean, Picasso's Guernica is a fundamental piece of art that I think everyone should see, but that's just my opinion.
Can you describe what you're wearing for me, your T-shirt?
Yeah, it's tuned into Bradford BCB 106.6 FM, which is a local community radio station that has existed for about 13 or 14 years, but has had a 24-hour to-air license since about 2000, I think, or 2001. And I do several shows on there. There's a morning magazine that goes out 10 till 12 every morning. I did a Tuesday morning one. And also got a show for the 1 in 12 Club on there, which is a half hour once a month. I do an hourly punk show fortnightly. And we used to cover Bradford City, but they banned all radio stations from the home matches this season because they believe it might affect the crowds or something.
In what way?
They just thought if people couldn't listen to it on the radio, they might go to the game instead. But that's... I personally think it's the wrong decision, but then I would say that because we used to cover their matches. But we'll see what happens. We still do go up to the ground, do the interviews, and we put a sports show out. We cover the Bradford Bulls home and away. So I've not actually been to any of their games as a radio presenter, but which I have with Bradford City. But I'm usually in the studio doing the half time and full time and keeping the commentators on track and keeping them up to date with what else is going on outside of their little world of that game.
How long have you been working in radio?
About 10 years, 10 or 11 years. It's started off as the woman that's the broadcast controller, I think is her name, she might be station boss or something like that. But I used to work with her in a play organisation called PlaySpace, and she got in touch and said, would the 1 in 12 like to do a show? When they used to have, before they got the full license, they'd have monthly slots twice a year, and they asked if we'd like to fill some of that space, and we did. And presumably because we were quite good at what we did, they started offering other slots when the 24-hour license came up, and gradually I've been given more and more slots and fill-in and studio manage and all that sort of nonsense that goes on around radio.
And what do you most enjoy about it?
I like the freedom of being able to, particularly in the punk show, play music that I want to play to people and I think people should hear, which some people probably didn't even realise they wanted to hear, but I get a positive response from it. And being involved with the 1 in 12 as well, there's a lot of young bands play there, not so young bands as well.
Tell me, sorry, a bit more about 1 in 12?
1 in 12 Social Club. It comes from, it started in 1981, one night a week at a pub called... I can't even remember what the pub was called now, but it just the pub in a back room of a pub in Bradford, and from there it grew, and it got the name because Lord Rayner, who was part of the Thatcher government in 81, came up with this figure out of nowhere that 1 in 12 claimants were making fraudulent claims, and because it had grown out of the claimants union, everyone went, 1 in 12 club, and then we got 1,000 members, I think, and there was some money available from the DOE that said, if you can prove there's a social need, you can have this money, and we want our own club. And they agreed with it, and we bought a building, and we've had it since 1985, and run it ourselves. Everyone that's a member is a co-owner of the place, and it's all run like there's no one in overall charge. There has to be a committee because of the way the law is in this country, and that's how it's a members club. And it's put on gig when it started off putting on gigs, but there's bands like New Model Army, Sudden Death Cult, Chumbawamba, Mekons, all of those have started there. Now there's younger bands like Random Hand, and I can't even think of something like Skindred, I think, played there in a variation a couple of about 10 years ago now. But there's been a lot of bands over the years, and like bigger bands like Half Man Half Biscuit, Fundamental, Men They Couldn't Hang, all those sort of bands have played there over the years, and it's one of those places, like so much in Britain, I suppose, that's got a far bigger reputation outside of the city where it's based, and people come from Poland and Japan just to say they've been there, and John Peel was a member for years and things like that. So it's got a good reputation, but within Bradford it's a fairly small crowd that attracts. But then that's quite good, because it means we do know everyone. People can go in there and feel safe. And one of the things that has always been said, particularly by the women that go in there, is they can go in on their own, sit down, have a drink, and know they're not going to get hassled. Or if someone does try hassle them, someone else will come up and go, "Oi, you can't do that." And it's just got that sort of atmosphere.
When did your love of punk start?
I can pinpoint it almost exactly. I can't remember the date. Me and my mates have been reading about it in Sounds and NME in late 76, and I saw the Sex Pistols on Nationwide and was just, yeah, this is what I've been waiting for. All that we had then was Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, Genesis, like Cures for Insomnia, basically, like Yes and things like that, which one of my mates would hate me for saying. But it's and suddenly I saw that and thought, this is a bit older than me, but my generation type thing. And then I think probably about just over a year after that, I went to my first gig, which was at a club called The Greyhound in Croydon. I went to see The Jam, and then about a month later saw The Damned, and just that was it. My life revolved around music for umpteen years after that, and probably still does to some extent, but obviously I don't live at home with my parents supporting me anymore, so I can't spend all my money on records anymore.
Is this something you do full time, the radio presenting?
It's not really full time, but I'm it works out about 20-24 hours a week, depending on what. And if I live fairly close, so if a presenter's ill, I get called in to go and sit in the studio. And quite often at Friday dinner time, there's a show called Round Table, which is discussing the week's events, and they get me in because I will play devil's advocate and get a debate going on things like, you know. And it makes more interesting radio rather than three people sat there with a presenter all agreeing with each other and no debate really going on.
Whereabouts did you grow up?
I grew up I was born in Wandsworth, but I grew up in a place called Banstead, in a flat above a shop on the high street. And I left there when I was 19. I went to university in Bradford to do interdisciplinary human studies.
Tell me a little bit more about.
Yeah, it's four part course. It's philosophy, sociology, psychology, and literature, and it follows different strands, and there's a bit of logic in there as well for the philosophy part of it. And that was in 1981, and then I got a job working at PlaySpace, as I said before, which was working with kids from the area from sort of 5 to 18, and in the summer we do play schemes, then day events around local parks, and then take underprivileged kids camping for a week at the end of the summer, which is always a laugh because we weren't particularly strict, and some of them were trying to bend the rules as far as they could, but it was always a good laugh. And just before I moved to Bradford, I'd actually done 6 months working in an old people's home, which when we were at school, me and all my mates said, we want nothing to do with people, we hate people, we're not going to ever get a job with people. And then we've all ended up working with people at one form or another. So after I left PlaySpace, did a couple of years on the dole, working at the 1 in 12 and stuff, and then, without money I should add, but then I worked for an organisation called DIAL, which is Disablement Information Advice Line, and then worked in a council workplace nursery for 8 years, and then worked as a steward at the 1 in 12 club for 10 years before doing the radio. I was volunteering at the radio before that.
And Had you intended to stay in Bradford?
I think it just happened to some extent. I'd got involved in things while I was at university, because at Bradford University, it hasn't really got a campus as such, although they call it a campus, but it's only just outside the town centre. It was, I suppose, 81 to 84 were fairly political times. A miners' strike happened just as I was leaving, and we got involved with loads of things. There was a hospital called Thornton View, a geriatric hospital, which did get closed down, but there was a big campaign around trying to save that. So I'd got involved in things in Bradford, and I had a life there, I suppose. So I never really thought about leaving. I didn't particularly like living in Banstead. It was very, very middle class, but also, even though London was quite close, which was good for gigs and things like that, and art and film and stuff, but it's cut off. The last train back was always 11 o'clock, so you'd end up missing loads of what you actually wanted to see. Whereas in Bradford, even though it's not that big a city, it's got things going on there, and Leeds and Manchester are quite close, and I just prefer living in the north to living in the south, and I think I still do in a lot of ways, but my life is there now, and I had a son in 1990, so I've got family there now, which is always a connection to keep you somewhere, I suppose, drive you away from somewhere, but it hasn't got to that yet. So,
did you ever want to be in a band when you were
growing up? I've been in several. I was in one before I moved called Sitting Ducks, which was did one gig, and that was about it. And then in Bradford, in one called Domestic Enemies, which I've got a track on a 1 in 12 album, which is it wasn't Enemies of the State, it was Enemies of the State. Volume 2 that we're on, and I'm in a band now called The Bookworms, who is me and my mate Sam, who's late 30s, and then Jess, who's at Liverpool University, and Lucy is doing her A-levels, and it's a nice mix of ages, and Lucy's a brilliant singer, and Jess can play violin and trombone, so it all sort of works quite well around, because I've done quite a lot of poetry as well, and done stand-up poetry, because there's a big scene of that in Bradford in the 80s, and had a couple of published in anthologies and published a book myself, but then, and I can't sing very well, but I can put it to music, and with Lucy's voice as well, and then the violin, trombone, Sam's guitar, it all works quite well. So,
how did you all get together?
Well, the Bookworms had existed for about 8 years. There was a guy called Dickie who first started writing music to my lyrics. Then when he left, because he was a long distance lorry driver and he was finding it difficult, I had a mate called Skinny who joined, and it worked really well, and we got Jess involved then because I knew her from the 1 in 12, and she was a friend of my son's, and we did a lot of stuff there, which tended to be very Smith's influence, because Skinny is obsessed with Morrissey and modulates his website and stuff, or one of the websites, and then he had to change jobs and was working far more, and I got Sam involved because I knew Sam from the 1 in 12 club, and knew he was obsessed by stuff like Johnny Cash, but the more obscure country as well, and just we started working on stuff together, and then we knew Lucy. I was actually when I was at university, Lucy's dad was the president there, so I sort of knew him, and then knew her through my son as well, and knew she could sing, and her dad said, yeah, do it, because she won't get on stage unless someone pushes her to do it, and so that worked out really well. So it's just difficult because we're all over the place, and they've got exams and we've got jobs, but we get it together every so often and do stuff.
What kind of people go to the 1 in 12? Is it all ages?
Yeah, I mean, probably the oldest regular member we've got at the moment is 71. He's been involved since the beginning and comes down still quite regularly. Probably the youngest people, I mean, you have to be 18 to get in, but you can, if you've got someone prepared to be your guardian in there, we do all ages gigs, which had over the years we've had links with music courses at school where a teacher will ring up and say, can I book the room, I'll take responsibility for it, no alcohol, but I'd like to put two or three of the bands on at school, so they'll all turn up and watch. But I'd say the majority of people are probably from 18, 19, 20 to about their late 40s. That's the core crowd that go in there, but then there's social things, like we're playing a quiz league. We used to have a football team, but they all got too old to play, so that folded. But some of the younger ones are trying to get it back together again. There's things like that, so it's quite a good mix.
Did you choose three adjectives, three words to describe yourself on the profile?
I probably did, but I've probably forgotten what they were. But I'd say, I don't know, sort of fairly happy, poetic, but also can be morose if I want to be. That'd probably be a fair enough description. I mean, Lucy, and we did a radio session on BCB the other day with the band, and Lucy and Jess had great fun pointing out that a lot of my lyrics either deal with unrequited love or death. But I did point out, I grew up listening to Joy Division. There's not much place to go when you've got influences like Joy Division, Echo and the Bunny Men and stuff. So it's not that I'm obsessed by those subjects, it's just they're easy to write about and they're good to write about.
What else is important in your life at the moment, would you say?
My son, obviously. I mean, he left school now. Can't find a job at the moment, but he's interested in a lot of things. He now works the bar at the 1 in 12, and he's chair of the 1 in 12, so he's got interests in his life. He's not just sitting on his backside doing nothing, playing computer games or whatever. Manchester United, very important in my life. I spend far too much money and probably far too much time following them around. And music is very important in all forms, not just the stuff that we do as a band, but just new music. Working on the radio is great because people send you stuff and you get to hear it, and some of it you can just fling to one side and go, I don't like that. But other stuff, you suddenly discover something you'd never heard of. And like, an example being, there's a band from Manchester called Geek Girl. They sent me a CD and they're fantastic, they're brilliant. And another one from Los Angeles called The Sharpies, who just discovered there was a punk show and sent this CD to me. And it's great. It's reminiscent of a lot of the sort of early 80s post-punk, sort of proto-feminist type rock, pre-Riot Girl type stuff, which is, and it's brilliant. And I like that. And I like finding new stuff. I think that's, I'd hate to be, like, there's some people I know that just have found what they like and don't ever look outside of that, and whereas I think I couldn't ever do that. There's always something that I find new that I like. So probably when that stops is when I know I'm giving up and it's time to go.
Are you looking forward to getting on the plane?
I've wandered around down in July just before I went to Paris and saw a couple of people up there, and came past the other day and saw some people up there and seen some tonight. So yeah, I'm quite interested in how it's going to be up there.
Do you got any reservations or concerns about doing it?
Not that I can think of, no, unless someone starts throwing horrible things at me. That's the only thing. It should be fun.
Do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Not that I can think of, no. That's about it.
Thank you very much indeed.